this is Tom Regan. I'm a licensed addiction counselor and certified grief counselor for Heartview Foundation in Bismarck. Welcome to Recovery Chronicles. This is a half-hour interview program that celebrates recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. Very, very special guest today, someone I've known for a long, long time, and her name is Shirley Steiger, and we go way back. And before I ask you the first question, I want to say, you know, you are a legend in the Bismarck Mandan area.
Give me a chance to defend myself, Tom.
Well, and, you know, and I know we met when I was working for Prairie Public Radio, and you were very much involved in theater and events at the time and all of that. And I wanted to describe this event. The Bismarck Mandan Symphony Orchestra was having a movie night, and they were playing movie music, and one of the musical selections was the theme from Star Wars by John Williams, of course, and somebody, and maybe it was you, but recruited me to play Luke Skywalker. This was, hey, this could be 30 years ago, right? And it probably was. So when they were playing Star Wars, you know, then I had to jump up onto the stage with my lightsaber or what. And then we had a Wookiee, or there were maybe three of us Star Wars characters. But you did that production. You did the costuming, I know, and so that was fun. One of the times we worked together, and you did a beautiful job.
There's a lot you can do in Bismarck. That's a lot of fun and a lot of work. It's a good place to have fun and to work.
Yeah. So thank you for being my guest on Recovery Chronicles, and you're a person in long-term recovery. But tell us a little bit about your growing up years, and are you from here? I don't even know for sure if you're from here or not.
Well, I grew up on a farm south of Glen Ullin. And I am number 8 of 9.
Wow.
Imagine my mom's great joy when I was born on the day all the threshing guys came. And for those of you who don't know, back when the earth was cooling and I was born, no one owned those great big threshing machines that you see parked on the hills now, just as an oddity. But what would happen is it would move from farm to farm, and about 40 guys moved with it. And it would be the responsibility of that farm to feed them right away in the morning, and then, you know, probably butcher 70 chickens and feed them again in the afternoon. It pretty much kept them busy. And so with my uncanny sense of timing, I was born that morning. My mom always, as she got later in her life, had said she really wanted two children. And to her credit, she never, ever identified which of the 9 of us were the two.
So that's funny.
But yeah, 9 kids, yeah. And
maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming a good Catholic family then, or no.
You know, some people think that's an oxymoron, but yeah, we were, you know, prayed the rosary at the chairs at night, and mom made sure we all had clean ears and piled into the Pontiac and made it to St. Joe's Church south of Glen Ullin. On a regular basis, but yes, Catholic family, hardworking parents, parents, heavy duty alcoholism on both sides of the family, but my parents did not drink.
Amazing. Interesting.
Yes. Yep. My dad would occasionally have a little, my mom sometimes a screwdriver, but it was very, very rare. My sister owned a bar, it burned, she owned another bar.
This program is about recovery. So how did you get exposed to alcohol? How did you get introduced to alcohol, and how did it feel, you know?
Well, most of the kids who grew up on the farms out then, two things happened. First of all, you had to pick the choke cherries. Tedious, mind-numbing job, because they're little. They're miserable. And then choke cherry jelly, but mostly choke cherry wine.
I see.
And and this stuff, tasted great. And whatever was left, you could strip the rust off your bumper with. It's just, And hell, so, yeah, yeah, and it was everywhere.
I had an uncle who made dandelion wine, and he made tomato wine. So I kind of know what
you're talking about.
Kind of know.
Not the tomato wine, but yeah, the chokecherry wine. And shoot, as we got older, us kids brewed it in our own, you know, stuck in the back of the closet kind of thing, like quarter cup at a time.
Yeah.
But I did not have that, you know, I hear there's some commonalities that I hear from the people I love who are recovering, like me.
And me. Yep.
And you. And it's that they got that hit right away. That was not my case. It was not my case. And I watched a lot of my relatives destroy their lives and do stupid stuff. Like I was 12 years old and I would be holding my uncle's false teeth while he got his butt kicked behind the bar in Elmont, North Dakota.
Really? Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, I haven't heard that one before.
So on the face of it, that was not a terribly appealing way to go. And, but as a teenager, my brothers would take me to dances and stuff with them. And the police were really tight on the liquor. So they would slide it down the arms of my coats, down the sleeves of my coat. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to stand at the side of the dance floor until they needed a drink. And then they'd take me outside and take a beer. Or summertime, that wasn't bad. Winter, when the beer was cold and the weather was cold.
Yeah.
But still, you know, I mean, they hadn't packaged alcohol to appeal to me at that point.
Yeah.
When I was a teenager, like high school age teenager, I drank because everybody drank.
Was it the cool thing to do?
It was the cool thing to do, and my sister owned a bar.
Yeah.
You know, and so no one wanted to drive all the way into town every day to take a high schooler in, so they got me a room in town. Don't ever do that for your child, particularly if they've grown up semi-isolated. So no curfew, nobody to keep track of me. And so had a lot of fun for a short time. And then my parents sent me off to boarding school, which was the saving grace of my life.
Yeah. Did they send you off to boarding school kind of like because they didn't know what to do with you or for
didn't know what to do with me I think SIS wasn't as commonly used at that point.
Yeah.
But I really was off the rails and I was 14 in 1959 and University of Mary?
Yes.
Had just built the first building, and it was a girls' boarding school.
This is new information.
Mm-hmm. It's called Annunciation Priory.
Yeah.
It opened in 1959 with 45 girls.
Okay.
And I came on a little later because I hadn't gotten myself in trouble just yet. But I had the unbelievable gift in my life of spending the rest of my high school years out there. And people like Sister Thomas were 2 years ahead of me. Those Benedictines do good.
Yes.
I mean, they do. I was such a brat. I got there and I thought, I can get myself kicked out of this dump in six weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, I was ready. But I didn't have that much exposure to Benedictines at that point. I had no idea how good these people are at this. And so it is. I still consider that my home. I consider it my home.
Well, as you know, one of the true signs or symptoms of addiction is loss of control. So when did you begin to lose control over your drinking?
I watched my uncles and my brothers spin out of control, and I was I was not going to do that, and I didn't. I had addictive behavior. I mean, I was, everything had to be absolutely perfect to a tedious level. And I managed to do all right until into marriage. My husband's a great guy, and I don't know how he stood my, you know, that obsessive compulsive thing, but as we started socializing in Bismarck, 1965, 66.
Right.
There's a lot of house partying. A lot of house partying. And it's a, you know, people who have known me forever and who hear this are going to, you know, their eyebrows are going to shoot right up into their hairline. A lot like fraternity parties. Everybody brought booze and everybody drank.
You could probably tell a lot of stories.
Not if I want to stay in town.
Of course.
And yeah. I was so controlled. I really didn't drink that much then.
Yeah.
But as I got into my middle years,
right.
First it was just fun, and it was I could feel absolutely could do anything. I could do anything. I could. I spent a lot of time in the rafters at the Civic Center and Jamestown Civic Center. I hung lights. I did that kind of thing.
Yeah, you were the theater person, you know, well, the production person.
I think I was scary enough so nobody questioned it. But when it would get to a point where I thought, when it was overwhelming, and, you know, a couple of good solid drinks, and nothing was overwhelming. So I could actually walk out on the beam 72 feet from the floor. And I had a safety harness, thanks to one of my nephews. And I did stupid stuff, because that's what you do when you're drinking. You do stupid stuff. And this was one of the things that the first time ever that I looked at this and I thought, oh, man, I wouldn't have done that normally. When you're working up in the beams, you work up there for 4, 5, 6 hours. You're focusing a lot of lights and a lot of stuff. And it's not uncommon for people to take a thermos of coffee. I didn't take a thermos of coffee. I took a thermos. I didn't take coffee.
Sure.
And and one day I did. I stepped off the beam 72 feet from the floor and hit the end of my safety harness and wasn't even aware of it. It was like nothing. I hand over handed my way back up and finished the job, but I will never forget the look on the faces of the guys who worked for me when I got back down on that floor. And I apologized, but I don't think I mean, it must have stopped their hearts to see me hit the end of that thing. And I managed to push through like that for a lot of time working. You know, the one
You were one of those functional alcoholics, you know, which I was too. You know?
I was driven. And the crazy thing is, when I finally went into treatment, I called the people for whom I did jobs, and they were stunned.
Amazed,
they had no idea.
I should mention, we're our guest today is Shirley Steiger. Familiar name in these parts, long-time Bismarck resident. So was there an event or a straw that broke the camel's back? I mean, that made you rush into treatment? Or what did you come to a realization?
You know, I did the thing that most of us alcoholics do, and I'm just lumping you all together because I love you all, man. But I told myself that as long as I was drinking the good booze out of the expensive glasses, you know, I was not a drunk. And a lot of my work took me to big cities. We worked in big cities a lot. We were out there. And I would see these guys on the curb with their paper bags, and I would think, God, I'm so glad I'm not like that. You know, I'll have a drink in my living room, you know, with my expensive crystal. And then I realized one night in a December when I was driving to the UPS, and I could not face the driving to the UPS without a bottle in the car. And I realized this might not be a good thing. And and I got out of the car and I fell in my neighborhood. And I realized that it's just geography. I am that guy with the paper bag. I'm just doing it in a better neighborhood. In front of a better house. And and I that was my point. And coincidentally, I was going to Minneapolis to help our daughter unpack in a new house. And I always maintain that my higher power, your yes. higher power, mm-hmm. everybody's higher power, God, 12th stepped me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain to you how this happened. And I am still stunned. Mm-hmm. And this much later, the hair on my arm still stands up. So we're unpacking in this house, but I'm alone. My daughter went to work. And it hits about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, and I want a drink.
Yeah.
And I know no one else has ever done this, but I brought my mineral water bottles with vodka. Nobody's
oh my.
Ever done that. So that's new to the world of alcoholics. My God, we're so...
She said sarcastically.
Yes. Yeah. And for those of you who are listening, yeah. I'm rolling my eyeballs right yes. up into my hairline.
Yes.
But there's no furniture, and the phone is still attached to the wall. So I'm going to find a liquor store. I have no idea where I am, somewhere in Minnetonka, mm-hmm. drove in the night before. So I get out the Yellow Pages, and if any of you have ever seen the Yellow Pages in Minneapolis.
They're huge.
Huge. Mm-hmm. And I find myself, and I don't remember if I was looking for liquor store or bottle shop, something in there. So now I have my finger on this line of print, and I reach way over, it's a stretch, to the phone, and I grab the phone off the wall, and I come back, and I look down to dial. My mm-hmm. finger's now in the little box that says Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, my.
This was yeah. not where I had put my finger.
Oh, my.
No, it was not. So I hung the phone up. I rifled back through the phone book, and I find what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the phone out again, and I come back, and I swear to you, my children, my finger was back in that box.
Yeah.
Without this.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. this happened three times. And at that point, mm-hmm. My whole body was in business for itself. And I said, as only an alcoholic could say,
mm-hmm.
to my higher power who created this world and my children whom I love, okay, I will play your silly game. I said that. Out yeah. loud in an empty house.
Yeah, yeah.
So I thought, I will dial this number and I'll get a recording and I'll be off the hook. I will have done my side of this.
Right, right.
So yeah. I dialed a number and I got the sweetest voice.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm unprepared because I was ready for a recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, mm-hmm. well, you know, I mumbled something about alcohol and, you know, maybe I have a problem and... Mm-hmm. And did not include the message from the higher power, by
right.
the way.
Yeah.
And she said, well, where are you? And I said, I have no idea where I am. And she said, I will hold. You go outside and see where you are.
Wow.
Get the address. So I did. And I came back and she said, we, mm-hmm. not you, we are in luck. Mm-hmm. There's a meeting starting in
wow.
20 minutes, six yeah. to 10 blocks from you, something like that.
Yeah.
So now I have this trapped like a rat thing. Now I got to do this. So I yeah. did. And I thought, oh, I'll get lost. I won't find it. I drove right up to it.
What a great, great story.
And yeah. I walked into this meeting and it was like, and I've told this story in meetings all over Bismarck. And it was like the people I find around the tables here. They could not have been more mm-hmm. They were perfect. They were us. They mm-hmm. were alcoholics mm-hmm. who wanted me to have what they had. And yeah. I don't remember much about the meeting, but my husband, who had not given me a hard time about my drinking,
mm-hmm.
who kind of let me, you know, a lot of it I did in my own office, away from my house, that kind of thing. So I called him and I said, I think I want to go into treatment. And the people at this meeting had materials from Hazelden. And he said, well, where do you want to go? And I always lose it here.
Yes.
And I said, well, everything I know that I've found out is Hazelden.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're pre-registered at Hazelden.
Oh, my.
And you're pre-registered at Betty Ford.
Yeah.
And you're pre-registered at the Meadows in Texas.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
do you want to go?
What a story. My goodness.
Where do you want to yeah. go? And yeah. so a very short time later,
mm-hmm.
I checked into Hazelden.
Mm-hmm.
And and you know, found that I needed more. They told me I needed more than just them right then. So they sent me to a place in New Mexico called Life Healing. And it is very, very private. Very private. At that point, and this is, you know, 20 plus years ago, there were only 8 people on site at a time. And the ratio of psychologist to person was 1-on-1.
My, yeah.
No signage on this place, nothing.
Yeah.
But I went in January 5th, and I came out Good Friday.
Yeah.
Good Friday.
A holy day.
And my husband and I were going to meet at the airport in Denver and go on a trip to celebrate my my recovery. He walked right past me. He did recognize me.
Yeah.
He did not recognize me. I had
gone in.
I'd gone in weighing 96 pounds and looked at just a mess. And none of us are at our best at that point. And never looked back. I have one of the first guys I met in treatment, and he has gone on to his higher power. But his name was Gary Dietrich, and I know he wouldn't mind my telling you that, because there are a lot
Gary.
Of people out there who are nodding their heads right now.
Yes.
And he said, get on your knees and thank God and ask him. And I did, and I have not had to look back.
Sure. I used to play in the Gary Dietrich golf tournament, for that matter, and all the proceeds went to charity, you know. So I know, and thanks again for being on the show, Shirley. Shirley Steiger is our guest, and I knew this would go too fast. We still have 6 minutes, but, but I think I'm going to have to, we'll have to have her back for part two. But no, and you're a great storyteller, and so I know your journey has been a spiritual journey.
Incredibly so.
Yeah, and recently you even did a spiritual pilgrimage in Spain, and maybe you could tell us a little bit about that. But you know, but in general, relate it to your spiritual journey.
Well, there's so much in my life that I have to be thankful for. One other tiny thing off to the side.
Yes.
The condition I was in when I checked in to Hazelden, I should not have lived another 6 weeks, and they said that. Several years ago, I was able to donate a kidney.
Wow.
So there's hope. Guys, if you're in your first day, your first week, your first month, hang in there.
You know, I think the body's ability to heal itself, including the brain. Yes.
Yep. So we, my husband and I, we're married 50 years, a few years ago, and we wanted to do something other than a party, because with what I had done and what he had done, we'd spent half our lives at parties. And we decided the Camino de Santiago was what we wanted to do. And it's,
Google it, folks. You can Google it. I did after you told me about it.
It's it starts on the border of France, and you literally walk through the Pyrenees. And it is an amazing, amazing thing. If we had 4 more hours, I couldn't cover it for you. 525 miles, and you walk into Santiago. There are so, so many beautiful spiritual sites. So many things along the way that you can't even... I in the 5 or 4 minutes that we have left now, I can't begin.
Right.
But I would be thrilled to come back and tell you about that.
Sure.
It was such a closeness to our higher power. There were places along there that were so spiritually rich that you just really had to stop and get on your knees. It's not even something you can tell someone.
Yes.
And
I understand.
And all through whatever theatrical stuff we did, you know, there's very little theatrical you can put past me. I know how that stuff's done.
Sure.
But standing in the middle of something so magnificent and so rich in spiritual depth, Mm-hmm. You just, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There are people who have done it after us who have done really fabulous journals. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he'll mind if I use his name. Bill Schlosser has kept a daily journal, and he would share that with anyone who wants to
read it. Yeah, I know Bill. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And say the name of the pilgrimage again.
The Camino de Santiago. Good. It's the Walk of St. James.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, St. James never walked it, but it was dedicated to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's 525 miles. And
Yeah. So, but I wanted to bring it up first of all because it's fascinating and you did it and it's a major accomplishment and you did this with your husband. As you know, Heartview, where I work, is a program based on the 12 steps, and so it is a spiritually based program. And I assume that has been, correct me if I'm wrong, but the spirituality part of recovery has been the most important aspect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's not a day. I mean, in that phrase, upon awakening, absolutely.
Right.
Upon
right.
awakening. And and my mantra is, because I'm a simple person, God, just get me through the day without doing any damage. If I can get through the day and not do any damage. But yes, 12 steps, I don't know. In fact, my son-in-law, whom I love and who's a normie, said to me one time, and I'm just going to use a word here.
Sure.
He said, do you have to be in the program to have your dish together? Because everybody I know who has their dish together is in the program.
Yeah.
So I just tore out the 12 steps out of the front of my 24-hour book and gave it to him and said, pretty basic stuff, you know.
Right.
Do this and do no harm and...
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's...
Right, yeah.
Man, if it works for me, and I'm just an old broad, if I could do it...
Sure. So how do you live each day, I mean, in recovery? And every time I write the word recovery, by the way, it's with a capital R, and I'm sure you can understand why.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. With gratitude.
Yes.
Unbelievable gratitude.
Yeah.
I think we all need to acknowledge that we have gifts. God didn't create us just to veg out here and then die like a weed. If you give yourself the right to enjoy your gifts, to acknowledge them.
Right.
And then and use them to save the next person down the road, you know.
Yes.
That, you know, what Bill and Bob said.
Yeah. Pass it on.
I want the hand of AA to be out there wherever someone's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know what anyone else's process is for 12 stepping.
Yeah.
But I think it's crucial that we live it shamelessly. Mm-hmm. That we are. I've never cared who knew that I'm an alcoholic. And heck, you know, somebody look at me and think, if that old broad can do it, I can certainly do it.
Yeah. You know,
and I think that is the gift. And my gratitude is wildly exceeding my capability.
We have to leave it right there. Unfortunately, it just means I'll have to have you back. So.
Okay.
Would you say the serenity prayer for me? That's how we close the program. So,
absolutely.
God grant me the serenity
to accept the things I cannot change.
To change the things I
can and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you, Shirley Steiger.
And I do know that prayer.
I know. Thank you.
I sing the song because I love the man. I know that some of you don't understand. Milk blood to keep from running out. I've seen the